Okay.
Praise the Lord. Okay.
Time release beans. That's pretty good. I like that. So how's everybody doing? Yeah? Look at somebody tonight that you didn't come with and tell them, hey, God loves you so much. Too much to leave us the way we are. He loves us so, so much. Whenever God is doing things that seem unpleasant, it's because he loves us. Amen? It's because he loves us. I hope we all came out tonight. We came here, we worshiped Jesus. I tell you, it was wonderful. I hope we all came out to see him and to hear what he's got to say to us tonight, because that's key. If we were all really listening during the worship time and during everything that was said here, I could just say amen. And we could go home, because there was so much confirmation in these songs tonight. But I tell you what, God's promises are embedded in the worship that he gives to people. It's embedded in there. When we sing those songs, it just comes up and faith is built up. You guys can smile if you want. It's okay. You're in luck tonight, because I'm in a good mood. I feel pretty good. I want to read some verses tonight, because it's God's word, and then I'll get through this as quick as I can. Okay. Let's hear a bigger amen.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, because I want to get it done. So Romans, where's the rock? Is he up there? Did he fall asleep? Oh, there he is. Okay. So this is from Romans chapter 8. And let's read this. For I consider that the sufferings of this present age, we heard a little bit about that in what Clinton was sharing. Some of the hard things we go through. God's never promised us a rose garden, a pleasure trip. It's not going to be all sugar and spice, everything nice. We're going to go through hard times, but he says, I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the anxious longing of creation waits eagerly for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility. By who? Not willingly, but because of him who subjected it. It's really important. You know, nothing in God's word is there by mistake. It's all inspired. It's breathed of him. So, you know, the more time we spend in his word and we look at it, we go over it, we read it, we ponder it, we meditate, we pray, God opens it up. And this is part of the word that he gave me for us tonight. But because of him who subjected it, that's God himself, subjected creation to futility in hope. In hope. Can you all say in hope?
In hope.
That's really important. That the creation itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the sons of God, or the children. Say that tonight, groans. Yeah, the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but we also ourselves. Say, oh me. We also ourselves, having the first fruit of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as the sons, the redemption of our body. Shout hallelujah for that one.
Hallelujah.
Boy, I'll tell you what, that's awesome. Next verse, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, with perseverance or patience, We wait for it. Eagerly, excuse me. Eager is important. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. For we do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings. Too deep for words. Too deep for words. And he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Yeah. We'll go back to that here so we could just kind of stay on there. Rocky, we can just kind of stay on there. So, yeah, that's good. All right. I just check and see if you're awake. So I want to focus tonight. Really, I want to talk to you about three things. And I'm going to try to be brief, but I got a lot here. I'll tell you what, your pastor here, my pastor, was texting me this week, and he's just kind of throwing all things at me that's like, man, God, you're really talking to me here. And then he preached on Sunday, and it's like, you're really talking to me now. And all this week, God's just been laying things out. But hope that is seen is no longer hope. Hope that is seen is no longer hope. But if we hope for what we can't see, or if we hope for the unseen, we wait for it eagerly, with patience. And I think one of the text messages that I got was in Hebrews chapter 6, how Abraham waited patiently for the promise, and he got it. He got it. I'll tell you what, we are longing for, in this room tonight, unless you're asleep, you're longing for answers. We don't want to come and hear just another message. We don't want to just sing some more songs. We are longing for answers from God. Yeah, there's things that we need in our life that are going to bring us all the way through our present circumstances and beyond. You know, and this is not just about us. This is about the world we're in, because that's why we're in it. We're carrying a hope within us. And, you know, the Apostle Paul coined this phrase. He said, God who delivered me from the mouth of the lion and will deliver me. He's done it before, church, and he'll do it again. He'll do it again. I want to talk to you about a couple of things that are really focused for me. The Lord highlighted some words for me. And one of them, as you noticed, was the word groan. The word groan. he mentions in these verses, he calls it groaning or groanings. The Holy Spirit groans, we groan, and creation groans. You know, if you think about it, all of creation right now, the world, the earth, the heavens are groaning. They're convulsing. We're having earthquakes. We're having storms, hurricanes. The seas are roaring. Just like Jesus said in Luke 15, or in Luke, where is it anyway? Luke 21. Let me just read this to you. If you can go there, Rocky. It says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth great dismay among the nations and perplexity at the roaring of the sea and the waves. I don't want to dwell on this, but if you think you've seen something, we have not seen anything yet of what's to come. And the sea is going to play a great part in what's going on. And that's right, and it's not climate change. It's God Almighty. You know, because God put this groaning in creation. He didn't just put it in you. The Holy Spirit just doesn't have it, but creation is groaning. It's convulsing. Yeah, men fainting for fear and anticipation of the things that are coming upon the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. So we can look at this and say, yeah, the earth is groaning. And when it says that all creation is groaning together, that's just one word. That word groaning together is just one word. And it's like they're all suffering the same calamity together. It's all together. And the earth is truly convulsing. Isaiah chapter 28, quick. 24, excuse me, verse 20, thank you. The earth trembles like a heavy drinker. How many have ever been drunk? Oh, Lord. Lord, help us now. We don't want to go there. Did I ever tell you? No. Good Lord, if I ever go back to that. It sways like a hut. For its wrongdoing is heavy upon it. So all of creation groans. It's groaning tonight. And God highlights that for us, because you can bet, however they say that, you can just bet your sweet bippy that it's going to increase. You will see this in the days to come. I will see this in the day. We are not to fear, because we are not just mere men. We are the sons and the daughters of the living God. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. And it's going to get a little bit shaky. It's going to get a little bit scary, but our hope and trust is in Him. Amen. But there's a reason why. Why did God subject the creation itself into futility in hope that it's going to be changed? There's going to be a new heaven, a new earth where righteousness dwells. Amen? Yeah. Yep. Yep. And then let's look at this verse 23. And not only this, but also we ourselves having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we. And Paul stresses that three times. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. Paul, you mentioned this a couple weeks ago. These old bodies, they creak and they crack. I get out of bed and it's just like A-E-I-O-U. Oh, man, it's just everything. Everything. I could spend all night complaining and telling you about all my aches and pains. Things that never used to bother me, they're there. But there's people that are riddled with sickness tonight. There's people that are riddled with cancer. All kinds of diseases, AIDS, you name it. It's plagued mankind. It's everywhere. But you know what? The addict, whatever it is, whether it's a sexual addict, a drug addict, an alcoholic, nicotine, cigarettes. The list goes on and on and on. YouTube addicts. We actually long. Did I touch the Holy Grail there? Okay. There's actually a longing in us to be free from these things. The addict longs to be free. What once they thought was going to be a great thing for them, they're now in travail. They're now groaning in their pain. And there's a groaning inside of them. There's a part of man, of every person. I don't care how low they've gone. They want to be free. They want to be free. You know, I look out and I got to remind myself that people that are in certain conditions, they really don't want to be there. Whether they're willing to believe or not, that's another story. But they don't want to be there. They want to be free. And I just want to say, there's a groaning inside of us tonight. Even if you're not an addict, there's a groaning to get closer to God. There's a groaning in you. I know what this is talking about. He's talking about when we're changed, when Jesus comes back, the earth is changed, we're changed. There's a longing for that. But there's a longing in us for our children. There's a longing, and I know that's a pet peeve of mine. There's a longing in us for our grandchildren. We want to see them change. We want to see them saved. We want to make sure they're going to walk with Jesus. Some of us tonight, maybe you're in a marriage where you're longing for your husband to be saved. You're longing for your wife to get with it. Everybody look at your wife and say, get with it. No. But it's given to us. All right, that's enough. It's given to us from God. There's a groaning inside of us that God gave us. I guess I went too far with that one. But he puts it in there for a reason, because he wants to fulfill. He wants to fulfill so that we're no longer groaning, but it's a desire realized. It's sweet to the soul. It's no longer hope, it's hope that's seen. Yeah. So it's no longer hope. It's standing in front of us. One day we'll no longer need hope. We'll be standing in front of hope himself. True story. True story. But one thing that we don't want to do in the area of groaning is we don't want to be the whiners. Amen? And the complainers. You remember that old song on Hee Haw? Gloom, despair, and agony on me. Remember, Seth? Deep, dark depression. You're too young. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Oh, gloom, despair, and agony on me. But I got to tell you, there's times when I've sounded like that. How about you? We don't want to be there. We don't want to be moaning and whining. That's not what we used to say when I was in the world. We call it something else. But we don't want to be doing that. Yeah. You know, I remember a show. I can't remember the name of it. Maybe Lisa would, but it's Haley Mills. How many remember Haley Mills? You're probably too young to remember. I'm so old, I remember. Haley Mills and Burl Ives. And Burl Ives was the happy-go-lucky guy. And he had a cousin named Mariah. She was a negative Nan. And she was talking to somebody about Burl Ives. He says, yeah, he sees the silver lining in every cloud, but not me. I see the black in every cloud, and I'm never disappointed. Never. Because there's always more bad news. Do we really enjoy, and I just had to hit on, do we really enjoy being around somebody that complains all the time? Or are we happy doing it ourselves? Yeah, I don't think the Lord enjoys being around that either. Not that he doesn't love us when we get that way, but he doesn't enjoy being around it. But David said this, Lord, consider my groaning. That's in Psalm 5:1. I don't know if Rocky's fast enough. Oh, man, he's fast. Yeah. Consider my groaning, Lord. You know, we're asking God that tonight as we're here. Lord, consider what I'm groaning over in my life. What am I grimacing over? My neighbor, my family. Some sickness that I have, some neighbor. I'll tell you what. Doing a funeral Saturday for a woman that attended the church that I pastored. COPD, she was told to quit smoking, and she just never gave it up. Passed away. Lung cancer. A lot of groaning and grimacing going on in that family. I imagine there will be on Saturday also. But I read in my Bible, Kim. I read in my Bible that God hears the groans of the oppressed. That's right. He hears their groaning. Psalm 102:20 says, to hear the groaning of the prisoner and to set free those condemned to die or to death. Yeah. That's why we go into all the world. Exodus 6:5. God said, I've heard the groaning of my people Israel because of the Egyptians. And I know there's a whole lot more that are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Judges 2:18 says that the Lord was moved with pity because of the groaning of Israel. But you know, when the people complained and they groaned in the wilderness, God heard that too. And we know the outcome of that. So we don't want to be complainers. I'll tell you what, I got praying on this yesterday morning and I got convicted. I really got convicted. I mean, big time. You guys should be convicted too. Boy. Yeah, it says here that, and I didn't give Rocky the verse, but it says, it displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. It displeased the Lord, and the Lord heard it. And so let's cover one more. And then we'll move on to the real message. You guys thought you were going to get out of here that fast. No. But verse 26 says this, in the same way the Spirit also helps our weakness. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Man, we would not make it. We would not make it. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings. With groanings too deep for words. Anybody ever experienced that before? You felt that groaning of the Holy Spirit? The closest thing that I ever came to really, really, really experience it to the max was, I've already shared this story, but I'll tell it one more time. I was going to put an axe through our prayer meeting at our church. I was fed up with people. I was fed up with the bad attendance and everything else. What a bad pastor, right? I could have been a good pastor. It wasn't for them. But I came to church that night. I normally fasted and prayed. I know some of you have heard this, but I came. I usually fasted and prayed. I came. I ate before. I stuffed myself, and then I stuffed myself again. I couldn't get my eyes open when I got there, and I just wandered around, and I just didn't care. And then I was walking. I'll never forget the place. I can mark where it was in the building I was in. I walked past one of the pews or whatever it was we had, whatever you call that. Walked past there, and I think I belched. And when I did, wham, and I began to weep, and I began to wail, and I convulsed. I felt the groaning of God. I felt the groaning of the Holy Spirit saying to me, I don't want you to kill this prayer meeting because something's being done in it. And this is how I got a feeling of, this is how God feels about people. And this is how God feels about yours and mine. All of our groaning that he has put inside of us, he cares. He cares. Phil, he cares. When we're groaning, when we're hurting, when we're in pain, when we're crying, God cares. He put it in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have it. Now, number two. I want to talk to you about hope. Verse 20 says, in hope, God subjected the creation. Verse 24 says, in hope, we have been saved. For who hopes for what he already sees? Hope that is seen is not hope, right? But if we are really hoping for what we can't see, we wait for it with what? Patience, eagerly, eagerly waiting for God to fulfill his word. And you know, when we hope, church, we don't hope like the world does, do we? No, we don't. Today, we're in America, we're putting our trust in a man or men or a woman or our finances, the stock market, our things, our stuff. We put the world puts its hope in those things, and they fail every single time. Oh, that I would really learn that lesson. It fails every single time. Every single time. Yeah. But we have hope because we've coupled it with faith. So I want to go back to another verse that Harley shared Sunday, and that's Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance. Now, I don't know, that's the NASB, but I'll tell you what, one of the versions, the God version, says this. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance, church. It's what we can get our spirit on, our heart can sink into, we can put our teeth into it. It's got substance to it. Now I'm not just hoping like the world is. I have real hope. I've got substance to it. We got to sink into God's word because that's where the promises are and that's where the substance is. It is the substance. Faith is the substance of things. And it's the evidence of what? Things not seen. So if we hope for what we can't see, we wait for it with patience. Yeah. There you go. Thanks for the correction. Amen. There's an old song that only old people would remember. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. Anybody ever heard it? He walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. I don't know how the rest of it goes, but the end of the chorus is, you ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. That substance. When you know you've got it. Bobby, when we can put our hand, when God allows us to sink our hands into the unseen and see it. Yeah. You know when the scripture says that the plowman ought to plow in hope. What does the farmer see? He doesn't just see a plowed field that he puts some seeds in. No, he sees the final thing. He sees a harvest before it ever gets in the ground. He sees it. That's what God is asking us to do tonight. To see the harvest. To see it. Amen. I'm almost done. All right, I'm going to preach now, boy. So we hope in faith. We hope in love. We have these three. What are they? Faith? All right, so hope is sandwiched in between, right? Hope is right in the middle of faith and love. If we walk in faith, we walk in love, we continue to hold on to our hope. Amen. Amen. We lay our hope on the promises of God. You know, we wonder, why do the preachers always get on us? You know, read the Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. You ought to read your Bible. Steve, you ought to read your Bible, brother. Are you reading your Bible? All right, glory to God, I know you are. But I'll tell you what, that's what makes the promises real. Otherwise, you know, we get in a situation and we're grappling for something and a lot of times we can't find anything. But when God gives us his promise, oh man. I'll never forget, I was 35 years old. I was working on the railroad and I started to have pain in my shoulders. It was really getting bad. And so I decided that, you know, or my wife decided that I should go see a doctor. And so she made an appointment. I went in to see the doc and they did the x-rays. I sat in the office, you know, I did the thing for a while, and the doctor came in. He says, well, he slaps all the x-rays up there. He says, well, you got bursitis, you got arthritis, and you got bone spurs. And then he gives me these blue, yellow, and red rubber bands. Anybody ever had some? And he says, you talk about bad bedside manners. He says, just exercise with these, and da-da-da, and he says, and I'll see you when you have surgery, and he walked out the door. And I sat there with my mouth open, thinking, I'm 35 years old, and my life is over. This is what I lift everything and swing a big hammer all day long. That's what I do for a living. I can't do this. I went home, not happy, pretty depressed, but I went home, and I got a hold of God. I got a hold of hope that God is the Lord God that heals me. And he reminded me of the people that he had touched. And they had testified of healing. And he reminded me of the times that he had touched my body before. And I began to pray and confess the word that he is the Lord God, my healer. And I laid in bed at night. And I would lay down and my shoulders were aching so bad. I would literally be in tears. I was just crying. The pain was so bad. Do you want to hear some more complaining and whining? But I just want to say, no rubber bands, no rubber bands, no surgery. Praise the Lord. He is the Lord, God, my healer. God is good. He is always good. He always keeps his word. And we're patient with it. And sometimes if we don't see the answer, we just got to continue to wait. We got to be patient. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. All right, I know there's always that little quirk that went, oh, no, what if it doesn't work? I prayed for people that needed to be healed, and I killed them. They died. I'm serious, folks. They died. But that is not going to stop me from praying for people. So be careful if I lay hands on you. Yeah. I'm not going to let one bad experience, or two, or three, or four. You know, I pray for a lot of people, and I've seen bad results. Yeah, what the heck? It's true. It's true. Are you getting all this, Rocky? I'm in a good mood tonight. Okay. Romans 15:4 says this. Through perseverance and encouragement of the scriptures, we might have. I'm thinking so much of my daughter tonight. My youngest daughter, she's away from the Lord. Her name is Hope. I'll tell you what, God's got her. He was letting me know. He was letting me know I got her. I got her. He'll get her. Yep. Praise the Lord. Isn't Jesus good? And then Romans 15:13 says this, now may the God of hope fill you. Church, may the God of hope fill you tonight with all peace and joy in believing, in having faith in God, in trusting in his word. Yeah. So that you may abound in hope. God wants us to abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit or by the Holy Spirit. Wow. That is so good. That is so good. Amen. Amen. I'm going to turn around and say amen because I'll tell you what. Amen. That was good. You know what? So we're going to wait patient for the promises. We're going to wait for the promises of God and we're going to be patient. We're going to wait. That means, church, sometimes we get out the word of God and we wait patiently. We sit and we wait on God until his promises start to get real to us. You know, sometimes, I don't know what Harley's like. He's probably perfect, but, you know, sometimes when he is. I mean, look at him. Sometimes God will give me a glimpse of the word, and then it's gone. And I'll just have that one thing. It's like, I go back the next day. It's like, what the heck? It was all there yesterday. It's not there today. I mean, the scripture's there, but it just is not making any sense to me at all. And so I got to go out and sit and wait patiently for God. And then the promise comes. And then he begins to reveal to me. This is one of the ones I've had to really sit. I'll tell you, when Kirsten and the whole group sang these songs tonight, wow. Wow. I wish we could replay and re-sing them all. You know, and then that song we sang last week, and I think, Harley, you texted to me. Take courage. Wow. It's in the waiting. It's in the waiting. Be steadfast, my soul. He's never failing. Church, he's never failing. Mike back there, he's never failing. Never failing. God's answers are always coming. I want to read something to you tonight, and then I will be done. But I'm going to try to stretch it out and take the last 11 minutes. No. Friend of mine, you don't know him. He went away just recently here in the past week. Where is it? Oh, here it is. He went away, and He's done this a couple times. He went away and he fasted for 4 days out in a shack somewhere in North Dakota, locked himself in there, went away and he fasted and prayed, seeking the face of the Lord. And he said, it was so amazing, God, this time, he says, usually I struggle so bad. He says, this time I had no problems, no pains of hunger, nothing. But he said this. He emailed me. I just want to read this to you, and then I will end here. He had a vision. And I don't know where you're at with that, but I believe God speaks to us in visions. I believe he speaks to us in dreams. You know, I don't make a doctrine out of it, but if it's confirming something to me, and it's confirming this to me, and I hope it does for you tonight too. The vision came, he said, after I asked the Lord, why does it take you so long to answer our prayers? And why are we still waiting for so many prophecies and prayers to be answered? You ever ask that? Yeah. He said, I soon after had a vision where I looked above me into the heavens and I saw an enormous fishnet. It was in the second heaven, which is the stellar heavens. I saw the net was about to burst, and it was Satan who was desperately hanging on to this large, bulging net. God showed me that that net was filled with all of the believers' unanswered prayers. Interesting. He was the big culprit keeping them from being answered here on earth. You know, the scripture says, we wrestle not with flesh and blood. Daniel was lying on his face to the ground when he felt someone touch him and explained to him, Daniel, do not fear. From the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. You know, I've often said I've often heard people say, oh, you know, you only have to pray it one time and then that's it. Go ahead if you want to do it that way. If that works for you, that's fine. But I'll tell you what, Jesus said, keep asking. He said, keep knocking, keep seeking. It will be opened unto you. He says, from the first day, and Daniel was 21 days, and I don't think he quit praying. The whole time. I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia has withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came up to help me. For I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. So listen to this now. This is what Craig said. He said, God said it isn't he who has been delaying most of our prayers. It's the devil and his demons. Like I say, you can't make a doctrine out of this, but if it witnesses to you tonight. But he says he was losing his grip on the net. I saw Satan struggling. There were too many prayers. He was nearing the end of holding on. Satan, not God, has delayed and hindered our prayers from being answered. Many of these prayers were very old, many of which we have actually forgotten that we prayed them. Actually, later I saw many nets representing each believer's unanswered prayers, but we are needed in this hour to get Satan to finally release the net. We need to power up and we need to press in from underneath. Yeah. God is sending all the more angels down to help from above, but we need to help from here below. We need to reaffirm and regain our strength, church, and pray. Yeah. The net is about to burst, he said. A few more fish, and they'll begin to spill. What Satan has meant for evil, God will bring for good. Yeah. So, that's all I have tonight. But I really believe that the Lord is saying tonight that we need to hope in him and hope in him only. To lay our faith and our rest in the promises of God. to trust him and wait patiently for God to bring the answers. But I was reminded when I read that verse, when it says, if we hope for what we do not see yet, we wait for it with patience. We wait eagerly for it with patience. Jesus gave that parable in the Gospel of Luke. He said that he gave this parable that all men might pray and not lose heart, not give up, not faint. And then he told a story about the woman at the judge's gate. She would not give up. Church, let's continue on. Let's seek the Lord while he may be found. Yeah, yeah. You know, the more we pray, the lighter it gets for us. Amen. Amen. Even if we have to travail in the night. I know that my examples probably aren't that great that I shared with you tonight, and I'm sure there are people in this room that could share much, much greater examples. And that's why we need to find books of faith and listen to them, read them, go over the promises of heaven. Amen. Yeah, yeah. I love you all. So does Jesus. Thank you. Yeah, Jesus loves you too.
Stay here.
I'll stay right here.
Praise God. I'd be a good pastor if it